When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The American economy, part of the global economy struggling with the post-pandemic supply chain, the worldwide inflation, the war in Europe, the threat from the People's Republic of China. And Joseph Sternberg is here. He's a member of the editorial board of The Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes political economics, but he watches America very closely. And right now, America's watching this headline: inflation eased to 7.1% in November. That's the Wall Street Journal's upbeat summary of what was said to be a better than expected number. However, the Labor Department said that its consumer price index, a measurement of what consumers pay for goods and services, climbed 7.1% in November from a year ago, down sharply from 7.7% in October. The pace built on a trend of moderating price increases since June's 9.1% peak, but it remained well above the 2.1% average rate in the 3 years before the pandemic. Joe, it is the amateur in me that wants to lean forward and say, hey, 7.1 is a long way from 2. How is this a good number? Can you explain why they're celebrating, Joe?
Well, they're celebrating because it is a less bad number than some of the other recent inflation rates that we've had published in these monthly surveys. But you're absolutely right. I mean, what people need to understand is what the inflation rate actually is that we're talking about here. It is a rate of increase. So a decline in the inflation rate from 1 month to the next does not mean that the price level itself has declined. Things are not getting cheaper. They are just getting expensive less quickly than they were before, if that makes sense. It's sort of like if you're driving down the highway and you had been going at 65 miles an hour, and then you see a little traffic ahead, so you slow to 55 miles an hour, you're still moving forward at a high rate of speed. It's just not quite as high a rate of speed as you were going before. And yet, so great is the will on Wall Street to believe or to hope that the pain of rising interest rates and the Fed's balance sheet reduction will abate soon, that people will seize on to something like this as evidence of the good inflation news that they have been hoping for, that would signal to the Fed that it can ease up on the brake pedal a little bit. I am just not convinced by that argument. I think that, as you point out, there is a big gap between 7.1%, where we are right now, and 2%, which is the Fed's target. And I think the Fed still has a lot of work to do to restore its credibility and, bring down inflation. And I think that the difficulty is that we have no idea how long that is going to take or what some of the collateral damage might end up being.
I note that your worthy newspaper, running very careful headlines, Yin and Yang, mentioned a soft landing possibility believed in by certain bulls on Wall Street. Now, I like the idea that the Fed can achieve what it wants. We need a definition. What is a soft landing, and has the Fed made a case for it, Joe?
Well, I'll tell you the soft landing is that the Fed talks about when they talk about a soft landing, and then I'll tell you why what we're actually going to get is a very different kind of hard landing. At least that's what I fear is going to happen. So when the Fed and a lot of Wall Street analysts talk about a soft landing, what they mean is they think that the Fed controls inflation by increasing the unemployment rate and triggering a general slowdown in the rate of economic growth. So when they talk about a soft landing, what they are hoping is that they can bring inflation under control without the unemployment rate having to go too high and without economic growth having to slow too much. And so that would be their soft landing scenario, where you can kind of get inflation under control without actually having to have a recession or without having a very deep recession. Now, you can have that kind of discussion about the likelihood or not that that sort of scenario will play out. The bigger thing I think that we need to be worrying about is actually asset prices, because before we had consumer price inflation over the past year and a half, we had an enormous multi-year run-up in asset prices, stock prices, bond prices, real estate prices, prices for assets like cryptocurrencies, which hadn't existed 15 years ago, and yet all of a sudden had these extraordinary valuations. And that has come with a big explosion of credit in the economy, lending and borrowing. And the historical experience has been that that kind of situation is perfectly fine until the very second that it's not. And then when the implosion comes, it usually comes somewhere where you least expected it and in a very damaging way. So what worries me is that we might end up on this track where it looks like the Fed for a while is headed toward achieving the kind of soft landing that it is talking about. But then you end up having some event in the financial market that cascades, that you know, sets in train all of these financial vulnerabilities that have built up over the past 15 years. And then that becomes a very hard landing, because we know that financial crises produce very deep recessions that are very difficult to get out of.
This is our last conversation for the calendar year, Joe. So I want to take occasion here to review where we've come from in monetary policy. This is the year that the Fed said we're going to stay the course. By that, reversing the opinion of 2021 when it was temporary inflation or it was supply chain inflation or it was to do with the war. No, they didn't have the war excuse in 21. I can't remember the third excuse. But in any event, this year started with the Fed saying, okay, we're going to stay the course and raise rates. Jumbo hikes, three of them, as I recall. There might have been a fourth. And now we're facing another hike of perhaps a half a point. Do you find the Fed consistent with what here at the year's end that it said at the beginning of the year? Is it a reactive Fed or is it a proactive Fed?
Well, I will say that I have been impressed so far with Chairman Jerome Powell. He did not acquit himself, you know, with a great degree of success or credibility last year, because it was clear to a lot of us that the inflationary pressures were building up, and he was very slow to admit that. But once he did, he has really applied himself very vigorously to rebuilding Fed credibility on inflation. And he's been willing to push ahead with these jumbo rate hikes of 0.75 percentage point at these successive meetings to achieve a very rapid increase in interest rates to try to get inflation under control. And when you hear him, he now talks about how he is so focused on inflation in a very single-minded way that didn't used to be the case. And he understands that they really need to bear down on that. I think the problem is politically, it's going to become harder and harder for him, because the higher rates go, and the more you start to see some signs that the rate of inflation is slowing, even if the price level still is very much higher than it was a year and a half ago, that will end up emboldening a lot of the doves on the Federal Open Market Committee, who make these decisions in concert with Chairman Powell. And already you're starting to see some evidence of that. The Journal had a news story this week to that effect, that there are increasing divisions among Fed officials and Fed watchers about what the future course should be into next year. So this is going to be a new challenge for Jay Powell to demonstrate his seriousness of purpose on inflation issues and try to keep the momentum going that he finally managed to develop this year.
I have read, Joe, that the number 5.5% unemployment is achievable. The number 6% is achievable if these hikes go in the right direction. So the Fed, is it prepared to say to the unemployed and to the people without resources that your fighting the war on inflation for us, this 6%, which, you know, when we get, if we get to 6, Joe, the speculation will be that it's going to 7. Is the Fed tough enough for it? Your measure.
Well, so far, Chair Powell has said that he is prepared to stay the course, and he has done so despite a lot of noisy complaints from Capitol Hill and even from a lot of Fed watchers about the potential consequences of increasing unemployment here. But again, the further down the road you go, the greater the pressure becomes to either stop or to turn back. So I think that 2023 is going to be the year when we will continue testing his seriousness of purpose on fighting inflation to the exclusion of a bunch of these other very economically and politically painful trade-offs that they might have to make.
Joseph Sternberg is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, and he's in London, and we're commenting on what we have so far about the direction of the Federal Reserve. 24 hours from now, we'll get the language that either fills in the blanks or leaves them to be answered in the February meeting. We're going to life in London because there have been surprising developments in this last week that make a distinction between how we in New England go through a winter and how the people of Britain go through a winter. Joe is a veteran New Englander, and I'm in New England now as a fresh New Englander, and our expectations are dramatically different from Mother Country. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.